Ha'ayit HaShem. It says in Chumash Dvarim that when you recite Vidui Maitre, you have to say Lo Yachal Tegiyoni Mimenu. How do you know that an Oinen is not permitted to eat the Karbonah? So the Gemara says that's only known to a Kal V'chomer. Right, so Sheni has to eat the Sukkah, even though it's eaten the Yerushalayim, it's eaten by Bailim, not eaten Dafka by Kohanim. So when it doesn't really have the same kedusha as Karbonah, it's not brought into the Beis Hamikdash, still it has to eat, and the Simcha you're not permitted to eat is Baninus. So Kol Shekein the Gemara says Karbonah may not be eaten by Baninus. This Kal V'chomer is what appears in today's Sedra. Here you have the Chumash, the Teresh B'Tzar, records a chunk of Teresh Shebal Peh. That Moshe Rabbeinu asked, the Sirach Hatos, the Rosh Darash, Moshe, the Hinei Sarof, Ha'itzof HaLog, the Rishon, and Aharon, and Sarim, Leimah, Madhu, Allah, Achaltam, and Sachatos. Why did he need the Chatos? And Aharon, he found, Heina, Yom, Akribus, Chatosam, Vatikren, Rosikoel, the Achalti, Chatos, Hayom. Is it proper that I should eat Korbanos when I'm in the state of Aninus? And Ha'inin is forbidden from eating Chatos. Ha'inin is forbidden from eating all the Korbanos. And even though they were given a special sivui by Moshe Rabbeinu, the Yechlua Matas Eitzon is best, that they should, even after the Bnei Aharon died, they were told explicitly that they should eat the Karbonah. So Aaron Taine that Lo Yalfin and Doris Mishor. That's only the Karbonah, Lo Hayu Asher, they were told that they can eat, despite the fact that they were right in it. But the Kodshi Doris not. The halacha is that Yidarish and Midish Hatarin of Rashistan, Bishma Lam of Yudhu Midish Hatarin of Rashistan, that's only the Torah of Rashistan of Yudhu Midish. So it means the dinim that annoying miyadu lederis, but something, and one of the midas is that the anav, a mamasino, a kalvachaymer, they can be done a kalvachaymer, you can be done a kalvachaymer from Aishasheni, to Kodshim, that is also to be eaten by minas. But you want, here Moshe Rabbeinu is given a hayru ashoa that they're permitted to eat the Kodshi shoa in the state of aminas, that they should darshan, a mamasino, what? To have on the one hand, Aishasheni may not be eaten by minas. And that you should darshan the Kal V'chomer, they're all kodshim l'der, it may not be eaten by Aninus. And then they were given a Ha'iru HaShoah, that the kodshim shoah may be eaten by Aninus. You should darshan from that Imam HaSina, that all the kodshim may be eaten by Aninus. So Aaron held that not so. If you have a toss up between the learning of Din L'Doris and another Din L'Doris, as opposed to learning from Din L'Shoah, he said that Doris Midoris Yalfin and Doris Mishoah Vayalfin, this is a Ha'iru HaShoah. This is a Din L'Doris. All the Din L'Doris have to fit into one system and one pattern. Ha'iru HaShoah means that it's an exception to the rule. Chiddush. So the Chiddush means, Dabar says it's not Klali. The Gemara says, the Chiddush le'alpini. Can't learn how to deal from a Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah means that it doesn't fit into the system. It's not subject to the whole, it's not part of the big pattern. And then Moshe Rabbeinu was masking. Ishma Moshe v'isa b'yena. Moshe was masking to the Sikkel Torah that Aaron has said. So the Achareidim points out that here in the Chumash, you have a description of a whole tilpul in the area of Torah Shebal Peh. They were all being done on a Mamatzinu, on a Kal V'chomer. And the Gemara has a discussion on the pasuk. The Gemara in Zvachim Daf Kuf, the Gemara in Brachas, the second paragraph in Brachas, has a discussion in connection with the pasuk. The Achalti Chatos Hayom, that Aaron says he's not permitted to eat the Chatos Baninus. How much Aninus is there right to eat? They were buried already. The Bnei Aaron were buried already, and they still have a din of Aninus. We have a din of Misha Mesa Muta Lafana is considered an owner, and he's not permitted to keep any mitzvah. Rashi says he's potter from doing mitzvahs, and Taisa says he's fasting like Taisa, that he's forbidden, he's also for him to do any mitzvahs. We usually call that person an oinim. So that din only applies, calls man shemesh mutal lefon. After the person is buried already, and right away he's obligated to do mitzvahs. It's not exactly which mitzvahs. If he ate the sandwich for breakfast, and he didn't bench, and then after the funeral, he's still full from eating. So we have to bench now for the meal that he ate by Nina. So he went to the bathroom before the Kfura and he didn't say Ashayotza. And now after the Kfura, so doesn't say Ashayotza. So there's a whole discussion in Potsdam about that. Exactly which mitzvahs does he have to do? Does he do Tashlumen? Let's say he didn't daven Shachris. And now after the funeral, he has to daven Mincha. So he doesn't say, in Shulchan Aruch, they have a discussion to say, he doesn't say Tashlumen for the Shachris that he missed because he was Potsdam from davening Shachris. So you don't have a Tashlumen for the Tfila that you were Potsdam from. Maybe this is not an inyan of tashlumen. If the person ate a meal, you bench up until 72 minutes after the eating of the meal, plus any extra time if you're still full. If you're still full, so maybe after the Kfura Sameis, and you're still full, maybe you should bench then. You just had a drink, a chreis of soda, and didn't say Bar Nefashis. Maybe you say Bar Nefashis after the Kfura. It's a discussion.
Yeah. wouldn't it kind of mean whether it's supposed to be depleted again? Wouldn't that like determine whether you would have to bench later? Because if it was supposed to up, the shots wouldn't be made, and maybe you wouldn't have to bench.
What do you mean, who is Roger Julio? Putter and
that? Who is Putter? It's totally Putter, right? It's supposed to be.
Yeah, we thought that he forbidden. He forbidden to do
that. Then he wouldn't have to do that. He wouldn't be lost
for
it.
Not necessarily. You can say that now he's mechuyev to bench. Now after the tefura and he's full, he still enjoys the fact that he ate a meal before, an hour or two before, so maybe he has to bench. That's a discussion in Achreinus. Same shaila, let's say, boy's going to become Rav Mitzvah at Teitzak Kachavim. What time is Teitzak Kachavim tonight? Let's say 8 o'clock. And he eats supper, and he has a full meal, and then he benches at 7:28. But he's only mechuyev to bench with the Rabbanon at that time. And then it comes 8 o'clock, it becomes Teitzak Kachavim, becomes Rav Mitzvah, and he's mechuyev to all the Mitzvahs there, right? And maybe he just ate it 8 days before, maybe he's mechuyev to bench again in Atayr. Not the eighth of the benching that he had before. Now he comes to the bench. And after, Rishayta Frank has a whole pilpul about that in his state and the high street. Anyway, so the Gemara has a din, and Misha Meitim Uta Lefanov is forbidden to fulfill any mitzvah. That's not the same as the din over here. Misha Meitim Uta Lefanov is not allowed to do mitzvah. He's only up until the Kvura. After he does the Kvura, so he doesn't have the din of Nainan anymore. Here it's a din, let's say a relative died. So the Kroivim have the din of Chayneim the whole day, even after the Kfura. The Gemara just has a machlekes with the Aninu Shlailo. The Oinen is forbidden to eat Maikushenim, and forbidden to eat Kachim. So there's a dispute in the Gemara whether Aninu Shlailo is the right of the Rabbanan. Halacha that if they didn't bury the mace yet, so then Aninu the night, let's say someone dies on Thursday, and you're going to have the funeral on Friday. So the Aninu Shlailo is there, right? The body wasn't buried yet. If someone dies on Thursday and the burial is Thursday afternoon, so the whole night, the whole Thursday afternoon and Thursday night, he still has the status of Einan. The surviving relatives have a din of Einan that they're not allowed to eat Maisa Shemi, they're not allowed to eat Koshim at night. But the Gemara has a machlech, whether that's the right to the Rabban. But the Aninus Lailo is the right to the Rabban. Because the Pasuk says, Yachal Techat and Hayom, and maybe Hayom means only Hayom, the lo Halailo, that Aninus Lailo should only be the Rabban. Maybe I should say no, that Halailo Halacha Hayot. And Kotchim, the din is the halayla halacha achaya. So maybe Anina Slaylo should be the right. So that's a machlekes in the Gemara. But there's a discrepancy, there's a difference over here. Now, so Rashi used to say that the din of Misha Meitim Uta Lefanov is not allowed to do mitzvahs. We call it Hilchas Aninus. And the other day they call it Hilchas Aninus. It used to say that's just a kitzur Hashem. It's really Hilchas Misha Meitim Uta Lefanov. It's not really anoyna. This is anoyna. Achal to be yoni memena. This is anoyna. But the din of Mishameis Muta Lefanov is Potter and Asa to fulfill mitzvahs. That's a different halacha. It's not to be confused.
On Kachim, the human not cover the mace on the day that he died. So after the very mace, so we can cover the status of Aninus for the rest of the day.
For the rest of the day? I'm not sure. I think not. I think so. I'm sure the Gemara in Zvachim talks about it. The Gemara in Zvachim around Daf Kuf has a whole discussion about what happened. Why did they burn the Korban Chatzos? What happened exactly? And the Gemara discusses all the dinim of Anin. Ramban HaChumash quotes in the Ravid in his commentary on the Teres Kohanim, why did Moshe Rabbeinu tell Yishor v'Altsofon, the cousins, that they should take out the mace? Normally there's a din that a Kohen Gadol is not permitted to be mitami even to the Zayin Krovim, but a Kohen Hagid is mitami to the Zayin Krovim. And lo yitam is a mitzvah, it's a chayva. So why didn't he tell Elozo v'Yisoma that they should be mitami to Nod of Ali? Even the Parsha not. But not only Aaron was mitami to his own sons who died, even Elozo v'Yisoma, the brothers not, but the brothers of Kohen Hagid, they weren't Kohen Gadol. So the Ravid gives two tirus. The Ramban HaChumash quotes the two tirus from the Ravid. One tirus maybe was a Hirosh Shor because of the fact that it was Shemini Miluim, it was Simchas Chanu B'Sham Mishkan. Maybe an exception to the rule. Or he gives it an answer that the Pasuk says that Bnei Aharon were not permitted to participate in the Kvura because Kishemin Mishchas Hashem Aleichem. What does that mean? That although they were not Kohanim Gedolim, but they had a Kedushas Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol has two things. He has Kedushas Kohen Gadol, and he has a Shem Kohen Gadol. He's appointed. Gemara, the Tosfos Miyum, according to Yerushalmi, the Kohen Gadol is Nisman HaDefeh, and he can be Nisalik HaDefeh. He can be fired because he has to be appointed in advance. I can't fire my son because my son was born to me, my mother, my father. I can't fire them. It's a relationship. But if you appoint somebody, so then you can disappoint the person. A Melech is appointed, and a Melech can be deposed, and then the Kohen Gadol is appointed. Kohen Gadol is Nisman HaDefeh, and he's Nisalik HaDefeh. Mishnah and Harivius talks about a Kangol who was fired, or a Melech who was fired. What carbonus does he bring? Kangol and a Melech are coupled with a different carbon. So the Mishnah and Harivius discuss what happens if he was Chato before he was fired, and then he brings the carbon after he was fired, and so on. So that aloha that you can fire the Kangol just means you can remove the shame Kangol from him, but he will retain the Kedushas Kangol. Once a person had Mashiach of Hashem and Amishcha or Merub of God, and whichever, so the Kedushas Kohen Gadol will remain by him. So here the Ramban quotes from the Ravid that the Bnei Aharon, all of them had Mashiach B'Shem and Amishcha. They weren't naturally born Kohanim. At the time they were born, the father wasn't a Kohen yet. So none of them were born naturally Kohanim. They had to be appointed as Kohanim to Mashiach B'Shem and Amishcha. So Mashiach B'Shem and Amishcha gave all of them the status of Kedushas Kohen Gadol. They just didn't have the shame Kohen Gadol. So we have such a person. We have people, the Ravid writes, we have a person, Ladoris, who has a Kedushas Kohen Gadol, who doesn't have a Shem Kohen Gadol. That's the Mashuach Muhammad. We have a Kohen Gadol, we have a Kohen Hedyot, and we have differences between the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedyot. The Kohen Gadol is not allowed to be Mitami even to the Zayin Graven. The Kohen Gadol has to wear Shemayin of God instead of Dalad of God. The Kohen Gadol has to marry Dafke Psula. He's not allowed to marry even an Almona. He's not permitted to marry a Ba'ula. And the Gemara in next to the last Perek in Yuma discusses which of the dinim of the Kohen Gadol applies to the Mashuach Muhammad. Some dinim he has, and another dinim he doesn't have. What is this status of the Mashuach Muhammad that some halachas of the Kohen Gadol he has and others not? But the Ravid seems to be implying in his Pirush on the Tereskan, quoted by the Ramban, that the Mashuach Muhammad has a status, he has the Kedushas Kohen Gadol because he has Mashiach B'Shem and Amishcha, but he was never appointed with a Shem Kohen Gadol. They didn't give him any Minyan B'Peh. So the Bnei Aharon on this occasion had the exact same status as the Mashuach B'Shem and Amishcha. And one of the dinim of the Mashuach Muhammad is that he's not permitted to be mitami to the Zayin Krogan. So that's why they, a lot of the Yisomar, were forbidden to be mitami to their brothers. B'Shem and Mishcha is Kodesh Aleichem. Because they had Mashiach B'Shem and Amishcha, which gave them the Kedushas Kohen Gadol. So they had the din of Kohen Gadol, but again to Maskorim. Same as word from Abchaim. Abchaim says, what if you fire a Kohen Gadol? He's Nisman HaBetev and Stalik HaBetev, but not all the Hilchas Kohen Gadol will be cancelled. Those halachas of Kuna G'dayla that are dependent, that stem from the Kedushas Kohen Gadol, those he will retain. Because once a person gets Kedusha, he retains that Kedusha Liyam HaBoy. Just those halachas that depend on the Shem Kohen Gadol, so Nisman HaBetev and Stalik HaBetev, so the title was removed from him. So the Kohen Gadol, after he's fired, will have the same status of a Mashuach B'Shem and Amishcha also. The same status of these of the Bnei Aharon. No, they were not Kohanim at all. They weren't Kohanim at all. There were only five Kohanim in the whole world. And two of them died, and now they're left with three Kohanim in the whole wide world. That's it. There were no more Kohanim. At the end of Parsha Shmini. Gemara discusses that's a little bit there, and that's Sugya and Zvachim. What status did Moshe Rabbeinu have? He had some kind of a status of a Kohen. The second half of Parshas Shmini from Shishiyan has all of the dinim of Kashrus. Not all of them, has the dinim of the Minim Tmeim, which doesn't have Bata B'Cholof, doesn't have that Nevela, but it has the dinim of which minim atame by ofos and by behemos and by fish. You have to be bodik yisimanim. And then the Torah says, yivdaltim b'rachaya Torah, b'rachaya shalot tohor, and so on. The Sefer Achinoch comes up with a chiddush, which is repeated later in Tshuvas HaRivosh. They both have this chiddush nifla, that the yivdaltim means to imply that you're not permitted to follow rove. Let's say I go fishing, and I know that the odds are 10 to 1 that I'm going to catch a kosher fish in this river. So the pasuk, though, normally you would say you have a right to follow a road. Let's say I catch a fish, I don't know what it is. I don't know what snapper the casket is. I just know they were kosher fish, they're non-kosher fish, and I was told that W. Yodul Lefursum, that the odds are 10 to 1 that any fish you get in this river is going to be kosher. But I myself can't tell. So if I'll go ahead and eat that fish before I'll ask whether it's kosher or not, even though you can't say that I violated. And then later on, after having eaten the fish, I'll leave over part of the fish. After having eaten the fish, then I'll show it to someone else and I'll tell them, yeah, that was a kosher fish. That was okay. So the Sefer HaChinuch seems to imply, that's what the Mishnah HaChinuch points out, that even though I will not have violated the law of eating a dak tameh, or let's say I'll shecht a cow, and I don't know what a cow looks like. I don't know what a malagir or mafis parts, I don't know what the whole thing is about. I just know they're kosher animals, they're non-kosher animals. And I know that most of the animals that you find around New Jersey on the farms are kosher animals. So I'll shecht, I know how to shecht, but I don't know what the animals are. So I'll shecht an animal, I'll take out part of the animal, I'll salt it, I'll eat it. And after I'll eat it, then I'll ask somebody, I'll show them the outside skin, I'll ask what was the animal, tell me that was a cow. So it'll be a gloy muslim affair that it was a kosher animal. So it'll turn out that I have not violated the law, I had a right to rely on the robe. The robe is the odds of 10 to 1 that it's going to be a kosher animal. But I will still have violated the essay. The Hibdaltim is a special necessity not to rely on the robe. And even though later on it'll be nisbar that it was a kosher animal, so for sure I didn't eat a treban, but still I was in violation of the essay. That's why some rabbonim feel that it's not proper to eat tuna fish that's canned by non-Jews, because no one checks the fish. The fish is checked by non-Jews. So where do you have the din of the Hibdaltim? Sure, there's a robe that's going to be kosher, but you're not supposed to rely on the robe. That's exactly what the Sefer HaChinuch says, and the Sefer HaChinuch says, and the Rav Ash has like that in the Shul. And others disagree and feel that it doesn't pose a problem for two reasons. First of all, the Rav Ash himself says in the Tshuva that Vamedvam Amurim, when do you have this necessity of the Hibdaltim, even if you have a very strong robe, let's say you have 10 to 1, you have 50 to 1, fine, you have 100 to 1, even if you have 100 to 1, but still you're not supposed to rely on the robe, that's the necessity of the Hibdaltim. What if you have 1,000,000 to 1? What if you have 5,000 to 1? But then the Rav Ash writes in the Tshuva, if it's such an overwhelming role, then you're not even in violation of the Hibdaltim. He writes the Sefer Shmuel. So the mice and the tuna fish companies, we know that it's an extremely overwhelming role, to the extent that those who do have dagim fish has a mashgiach who tries to check almost, more or less, almost all the fish. He checks not all the fish. So they, at the time that we asked them a few years ago, so they said that in the 9 years that they were checking fish, they never, ever, ever came across a non-kosher fish. Not only never came across a non-kosher fish, they said that when the company was processing the albacore, there were only three kinds of tuna fish that they sell in the can. They said, the fellow from Dagim said, when they were processing albacore, they never, ever, ever, in the 9 years that they were checking, they never found any yellowfin. And when they were processing yellowfin, another kind of tuna fish, they never, ever, ever found albacore. There are three kinds of tuna fish. They never found the other kind of tuna fish. They never found any other fish other than, they never found the codfish, never found any other fish. And I tell you, trade fish, they never found the chalab. So Lachar, the Rav Ash says that if you have such a road like that, never, ever, ever, 9 years, that's better than 1,000,000 to 1. It never happened. They had 1 million fish in one day. They had 5 million fish in one day. So what Shaykh to say over here, that there's a violation of the end. And furthermore, the Darkei Tshuva by the Munkach quotes the Sefer HaChinuch in the middle of Yeridah, quotes it twice, both by fish and by behemoth. And then he says, let's say a fellow is a shechet in a slaughterhouse and a shechting cow. And he looks at the cows and he sees that these are all cows. He has a clear sign. He knows what a cow is, he knows what an elephant is, he knows what a tiger is, he knows what a lion is. These are cows. They're not the tigers and lions. So does the din require the Hibdaltim that he should be bodik to simonim? The Sefer HaChinuch says the necessity is to be bodik to simonim to see if it's malager mafis parasim. What if he just sees the heads of the animals from the upper half? He doesn't see the feet at all. So that's no good. He's not yet to the din of the Hibdaltim because he didn't check to see if it's mafis parasim. So in the Darkei Tshuva, he writes on his own, as a double pashut, and I think he quotes some achronim who write like this also, that when you have a mitzvah to be boidik, to see one, and to see if it has the snap of the kaskesis, and to see if it has the malagia, the mafis parasol, If you're not marking what the minapeima is, but if you're marking what it is, you can tell with a clear sign that this is a cow. You can tell it, this is a tuna fish. If you know what the facts are, you know what the min is. So then there is no din that you have to be bodied 50 months. Here also, you know the fact that these are tuna fish. You know already that these are tuna fish. So then there's no need to, there's no halacha of being bodied 50 months. If it's no longer possible to be bodied. That's also the Rav Ash writes that also. Rav Ash writes, the only time one is in violation of the essay is if he still has the ability to be bodied. But let's say they remove the object 10 to 1, that this is going to be a kosher fish. And then they remove the skin. And then I get it in a can. And now it's impossible for me to check to see if he has a snap of a kaskas. So the Rav Ash in the Chua writes that also, that you're no longer in violation. It's not shak to say you're in violation of the essay. The essay only applies when you're able to. It's not that if you didn't check the simon, it remains an isa essay liyolom vore. The essay only is if one is still able to check. If you're not able to check, there's no essay. So then you have to, and then you have a right to rely on the rov, right? The rosh has that also in the truth. This Silvapanavisha has a very sharp shtikotera based on this comment of the rosh and the Sefer Achinoch. There is a pasuk in today's sedra when it lists off all of the non-kosher birds. So it lists off as one of the non-kosher birds, the bas hayano, an ostrich. What does it mean, a bas hayano? So the Rishonim say on Chumash, like a torim of bnei yoino. The torim are all the birds in past 13 months and older, and bnei yoino are 11 months and younger. That's why these are called bnei yoino, and these are not called bnei torim. Bnei means that the younger, minim, that's the mission in the first pair of mechulim. Bnei yoino means that they're younger, and torim means that they're older. So here also, bas hayano, the Rishonim Achumish say that bas hayano apparently is only tasty when it's a young ostrich. If it grows older, so it doesn't taste good b'chlal, so the goyim wouldn't eat it either, so there's nothing to discuss. But a bas hayano is a delicacy by goyim, his flesh is still soft and tasty. Then the Torah tells us that it's prohibited. So perhaps that's the Pshuto Shal Mikra. So the Gemara has a comment in Chulin on the pasuk. What's our bas hayana? What about the bein hayana? What about the yana itself? What's the bas hayana? So the Gemara doesn't say that it refers to a younger yana. The Gemara says it refers to the beis asoif tomei. Bas hayana refers to the ostrich egg. That if the ostrich lays an egg, if the egg hatches and it opens up and an ostrich watches out, that's a yana. But if it lays an egg and it was never, doesn't develop to become an oif tomei, you want to eat it in the stage of an egg, so this pasuk tells you that din of hayotze min atomei is tomei. This is the pasuk. Bas hayana tells you that you're not allowed to drink milk from a behemoth male. If you have milk from a hazira, you're not permitted to drink it. And so on. This is the marker of the din of hayotze min atomei tomei. It's a mission on the first parak in Chorus. Hayotze min atomei tomei. The Gemara Chulin, Daf Nun Ches, says that this is the marker of that din. Bas hayana. There is a machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban, whether there is an Isser, the Araisa, is there an Isser to eat Besar Adam? Is there an Isser to eat Besar Adam? Let's say to rip someone's limb off, of course there's an Isser. How can you rip the guy's arm off? Or if a Jewish person drops dead on the Isser's also Banor, I'm not allowed to get Hanor from it. Let's say Meisei Akum. So the Shulchan Aruch says that we're Machlokes and Meisei Akum are also also Banor. The Chabad and the Ramban are both right. But the Achreinim on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, right, that's only a Chumrah, because Mikra Adina would appear in the Gemara that it's really Mutter, like Tosfos and Baba Kama writes in the first paragraph, that Meis is also Bano, is only Meis in Yisrael. Meis Yakam on Mutter Bano. So the whole marker of the Dina, the Meis also Bano, is from the Pasuk, Vatam HaShem Miriam HaTikov HaShem, and you learn how to Gzer HaShem 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 Egla Rufa, and Miriam was Jewish. So the only marker you have to indicate that a Meis is also Bano is by Miriam. Meis in Yisraelim, we may say Yakama Mutabano. So the Shad is Mutabano as a Mutabachilo. A fellow's in the jungle and he's starving, he wants to eat some food, he has nothing to eat, he's going to eat the leaves, he's going to eat the grass. And what if he finds a dead goy in the jungle, is he permitted to eat the dead goy? If it's because Nevish, he can eat a live goy also. Maybe. he can eat a live animal too. He can eat dead mevela also, he can eat whatever, but Muratachim is not Pikoch Nefesh. Not Pikoch Nefesh, he can pull through with that. So is there an Issa on the assumption that makes the Yakam Amutah Bahano, or is it also Bachim? So that's the Machlek, is the Rambam and the Ramban. So the Rambam says that Psar Adam is also Menatar. Where is there a Pasuk? he says because he doesn't have malagera, and he's not Makris Parsa. But the Rambam says, but it's not an Issa Lav. If he eats an animal, if he eats behemoth of a chai that's lacking malagera, Makris Parsa, that's an Issa Lav. They're lost ochlu. Mitzorim lost echel, bin of lost and lost ego, that's a Lav. If he eats the Sara, then that's only an Issa Resa, because it's not really, he doesn't really belong to the family of behemoth of a chai. And the Ramban disagrees with the Rambam, he holds that it's muta lagamri, that there is no. That there is no isa deraisa against eating b'sar adam, and he proves that the Rambam is wrong from the fact that the Gemara talks. We know that people drink cholav isha. You feed the babies drink cholav isha, and an adult, a grown person, is not permitted to drink cholav isha directly from the gufa isha. The Gemara has an isa derabbanan, but if you take out the milk from the isha and a person wants to drink it, so the Gemara says it's permissible. So the shaila is, how can that be? If you're not permitted to drink cholo from a chazero, because of yotzim and atomei stomei, and if the tzara adam is also disarete, according to the Rambam, so let the cholo visha be also min atero. Even if you're not drinking it, and the Gemara says it's only also min rabbanon if you drink it directly from the gufo isha. And if you don't drink from the gufo isha, then it's mutar even the rabbanon. So why shouldn't it be an isha because of yotzim and atomei? That's the Ramban's achocha against the Rambam. The tzara adam is mutar. That there's no isa lav, but there's no isa resa. So the Magen Mishnah comes to far for that Rambam. He says that how can the Rambam hold that the Sar Adam is also isa resa? If the din certainly is nachal of isha is mutar. So he says bamezvam amur. When you have this din of yotzim and atame tame, that's only if the tame from which you're taking the milk or you're taking the eggs from has an isa lav on it. But if the tame only has an isa resa on it, then there's no din of yotzim and atame. And indeed, if you look, when you look in the Rambam, Hilchos Macholos Asuris, when he formulates this din of a Yotzim and Atami Tameh, that mission in the first paragraph in Chorus, from Dav Vav, Dav Zayin, so the Rambam writes it like that. If you eat or drink milk or eggs, that something that comes out from a Dove Tameh, that also Ba'achila B'Isolav, then you're in violation of this din of Batayana. But if it only has an Isoresse on the behemoth from which it's coming, then the Yotzim and Atami would be kosher. That's what it sounds like from the Rambam, like the Magen Mishnah says.
According to the Mandam, that is not a medicine harm. According to Tosfos, it's claiming only Yisr is Ein of Ruha.
Right.
It's only Yisr Ase. So why does the Mandam Chorus suggest that you need a special pasuk to be marked in a hollow of the Behemoth?
Maybe that's exactly what the pasuk tells you. The pasuk tells you. The Gemara in Bechoris has a pasuk that indicates that you're permitted to drink milk. The Gemara says, I would have thought that you're never allowed to drink milk even from a kosher animal. Why would I have thought that you're not allowed to drink milk? So the Gemara has two possible havamina. One havamina is because dam necha ben asacholam, that all the milk started off as blood. So you're drinking blood. So the pasuk tells you no, that you're allowed to drink. So what is that pasuk? It's high taka. If it all started off as blood, how come it's mutter? How come it's taka mutter? Some say because anisha shenishtana is mutter. Some achrenim say that's exactly what the pasuk tells you. Anisha deraisa shenishtana is mutter. That's how the Rabbein Yonah holds in the end of Brachot. The Gemara has another pshat in the Havamina. What was the Havamina? Why would I have thought that milk, regular cow's milk that they sell in the store, why would I have thought that milk is not kosher? The Gemara says, not because dam derecha v'nasachol, that it starts off as dam and it should be prohibited mitam yisadam, but rather because it's a yotzim min ha'aser, because the animal, while it was alive, was aser. I would have thought that the milk that comes out is a yotzim min ha'aser, kamash malon, that it's mutter. Why would I have thought the animal is aser? So he mentions there is a machlekes in the end of Chulin where the behemah b'chayahu on the next daf in Beitzo, those who learned the blot ahead, and daf chav dal, it says his quote. It says there's a machlekes in the end of Chulin where the behemah b'chayahu lo yivar memedes. While an animal is alive, do I say all the limbs of the animal are prohibited because of eivin achayah? They say no. If and when you rip off a limb, then it'll be eivin achayah. But because man, the whole organism is all connected together, it's not yet an eivin achayah. So if your whole behemah b'chayahu is lo yivar memedes, the animal while it's alive with all the limbs attached, every limb has a status of Eivin Achai, then I understand what the Havamina would have been, that the milk that comes out would have been a Yotzim and Asa. But if you hold that behemoth, the Chayehos, Lav Lo Yivar Memedes, so what's the Yisr in a live animal? And the Gemara says there is an Yisr. The Gemara says behemoth, the Chayehos, Ches Kisisr Memedes, what's the Yisr? The Taisa says, what are you going to say? It's an Yisr Nevela. It's not a Nevela, it's alive. How can it be an Yisr Nevela? And there's no Yisr Eivin Achai, so what is the Yisr? It says it's an Issa Resa. It says with Zavach to the Achal, so Masha to Zavach to Eicha. If you didn't shecht it yet, so it's an Issa Reina Zvucha. It's an Issa Resa. So I would have thought that the Cholov that comes out from all live cows, the Cholov comes out when the cow was alive. If the cow dies, it stops producing Cholov. It's a lot of business. It stops manufacturing Cholov. The Cholov, the cow is alive, So I would have thought that all the milk is a yotzim and asa because the behemah has an iser esek. Kamash malon, that is muta. What's the kamash malon? So perhaps that's exactly how the Rambam learns. Kamash malon, since the behemah meichayim only has an iser esek, it doesn't have an iser lav, so there's no din of yotzim and atami over here. The Ramban clearly didn't think so. Ramban in asking the kasha against the Rambam doesn't hold like that Rambam, doesn't hold like the Magen Mishnah. Otherwise, what would be the kasha? The Rambam writes the fair, Sarah Adam only has an iser esek, doesn't have an iser lav. What was the Ramban? What was bothering the Ramban when he asked, so how can you drink Chol of Isha? It should be Yotzim and Asr. So Ramban obviously holds that the din of Yotzim and Asr even applies if the double horse only has an Isra Esr. So how does the Ramban learn? Ramban holds only on Xeris HaKosher on milk. Only on milk. Kosher, why should that be so? Huh? You have to figure out exactly what the Ramban holds. But perhaps that's exactly what the Ramban learns. That the Isra of Yotzim and Asr only applies if the Asr that it's coming from as an Issa Lab as opposed to an Issa Rest.
What about Paul the Shabbos? I mean, how could you read flesh of Rai? Isn't it detestable?
Okay.
Since,
but they will.
Okay.
But they will be Baal the Shabbos. Could be. They'll be Baal the Shabbos, so it depends on circumstances also. If the guy's lost in the jungle and he's hungry, even if there's nothing cross Nabish, could be that then the Gedarma Baal the Shabbos and make change. I don't know.
Also, maybe the Ramban holds like Rashi that's Kikram and Kai, so that way.
So you can, he can hold like the Ramban. Could be. Yeah, could be.
For the Ramban, his proof is that when they lift the Chol of Isha, but that also be the Isha Yisraeli. Because if you want, right? Because if he wants to prove, we're only talking about Mesme Akro.
Yeah. Well, while the woman is alive, while the people are alive, there's no Isha Mace yet. If you offer Sarah Adam is also, so Sarah Adam is also be suggesting while the person is alive and after the person dies. Well, Ethan is A like it. The Ether of Nate goes to
now it changes when when
the
person dies, it changes depending on whether they're an
Akum
or
a right. If it's an Israeli, then it becomes also Bahanra. Right. While the woman is alive, while the person is alive, it's only an Ether resting. After the person dies, if it's an Ether, then it's going to become an Ether and Ether Hanra.
So how can you prove from when she's alive? Our interest is really in when she's dead, when the person is dead.
But the Easter of Achim, Macholos Asuris, is it a Nintone? That's the same, while it's alive or dead. It's the same thing. After the animal is dead, then you have an additional Easter added on, Easter Nevela. The Easter Bayotim, he calls it the Easter Mace, that Mace is also Mano. But if the Easter is because it's not a Nintone, because we consider Odom a Nintone to the extent of an Easter essay, but that'll be the same, whether the person is alive or dead, you have the same Easter egg. So there is a Gemara in the end of the second parak in Avodah Zorah. The Gemara talks there about kosher fish, non-kosher fish, checking for the simonim and so on. So the Gemara tells that on one occasion a boat came in, the goyim were catching fish in a certain river where the overwhelming majority of the fish there were kosher. The odds, the likelihood of getting a non-kosher fish was very slim. But still, the din requires that it seems that you have to check the fish. So the Gemara says, and the goyim filleted the fish, they took off the skins, and then they were selling just kirvei dovim, just selling the flesh of the fish without the skin. So the Amoraim made an announcement in their communities that the balabatim are not allowed to buy fish from the goyim because no one checked to see if they had snap of the kaskeses. But then the goyim had made, while they were on the boat, they had made some kind of a brine in which they used the juice that came out of the fish. So the brine you were allowed to eat. That's what the Gemara said. One of the Amoraim said, you're not allowed to buy the fish itself, but the brine you're allowed to buy. He said, it doesn't make any sense. How can it be? If you're not allowed to eat the fish and the brine came out from those fish, you shouldn't be allowed to eat the shuman that comes out from the fish either. That's what the Gemara, very strange. What do they make up shorah for? Machla on this, you make it on that. Well, where's the room to negotiate over here? But Mitzel Aponovich was a genius. So he always put things together in a very ingenious fashion. So he has in a safe as Zecha Yitzchak, he has Mamish, the whole Gemara is Kinin Chaymer. It's beautiful. So he says the odds were that the fish were kosher because they were going fishing in such a river, they really had any non-kosher fish. But that's the halacha that the Rivash writes in the Tshuva and the Sefer Achinuch has it also, that you're not permitted to rely on the rope because of the din of the Hivdalsim. But the din of the Hivdaltim only makes it that it's an Isaresi. It doesn't make it that it's an Isalav. The Lav is Mutta because of the Rove. The Rove indicates that it probably did have snap of the Kaskesi. So all you have on these fish is an Isaresi. Then when you have the brine that came out from the fish, that's a Shailaf and Yotim in Halakha. So the din is like the Rambam, that Yotim and Halakha only applies if the original Isa was an Isalav. If the original Isa was only an Isaresi, then the Magen Mishnah pointed out that the Rambam sheet is that there's no Isa of Yotim and Halakha. So that's why the Amoraim will matter the brine. Like this, you don't understand the Gemara. Marushach, if the fish are treif, how is the brine kosher? It's the same thing. So the answer is no. The fish were treif, but not with the Isalah, because the roif was that they did it. It wasn't bin tahar. It wasn't bin tahar. So the only thing you're in violation of is the Isaresei. Once you lowered it down to the level of an Isaresei, so then there won't be any din of Yotzei
Menasseh. Why is the brine Yotzei Menasseh?
Apparently not. Apparently not. The fish itself that the Torah prohibits is only the besarha, like psorum lo sechelum, the basim lo sechelum, the psorum. The isa is only on the besarha fish, and the brine that comes out is considered a mashkim ayotze, like cholov of a behemoth.
In
fact, the Gemara says that it's only the rabbanim. The Gemara says Tesis in Chulin points out a Gemara that the brine that comes out, the juices that come out from a non-kosher fish are not even also minatera. It's only in Yisrael Rabbanan that minatera, the Yisrael Yoytzim and also Rasa says by the batayana, by birds. So eagle's eggs are treif because the eagle is treif, so the eggs are treif, and ostrich eggs are treif because the ostrich is treif, and the same thing by behemoth. Cholov that comes from a chazira is treif, and cholov that comes from a lion and a tiger or whatever is treif. But from fish, there's no din of Yoytzim and also Rasa. Minatera. The whole din of Yoytzim and also Rasa is only the Rabbanan by fish. Okay, against that Rivash. That second part of the Rivash. Okay, if you want to say this B, you have to assume not like that part of the Rivash. That part of the Rivash is not so popular. Ratzita Yitzchak Frank in his Tshuva points out the famous part of the Rivash is that he says the same as the Chinuch. That you have an Isarese, you eat the. If you rely on a rove, the rove will indicate that the behemoth is a mintohor, or the dog is a mintohor, so the reverse says the same as a chinuch, that you're not allowed to rely on the rove. Even though the rove is enough to take off the isalah, but it will still be an isaret. So that's the famous part of the reverse, where he says the same as the chinuch. And the other part of the reverse, no one ever knew until Rabbi Tzvi Frank really read it, and he points out in his tshuva, but look at the next paragraph in the reverse. He says that the essay doesn't apply unless he can still be boidik now. So this whole interpretation is assuming not like that second part of the Rivash. You're right. You can rely on the rope, yeah. Yeah, but we rely on the rope that none of them are trace of fish. You have a right to rely on the rope, none of them are trace of fish, and none of the fish have an isalav. But all the fish have an isaresa. So all the brine that comes from all the fish is a yotze from an isaret. The lagabi, the lav, you rely on the rope. The lav of eating dadim's mane is the same as kol tarkula, same as Shabbos, same as everything else. Whenever you have a roi, you can rely on the roi. Only the gabi, the esse. The esse tells you not to rely on the roi, but the esse doesn't mean to say. Therefore, the lav is still here. Yes, it means that there's only an isaresse, not an isalav. That's how the Minhas Chinuch points out that's the kavanas achinuch. So once you assume like that, so then Abitzel upon it, as you said, we understand the Gemara. It's an imchaim.
Can there be a difference between lachalach
and Yerush Biyavish?
Only
applies. Yeah, you could say that. You could say simply, without even saying lach v'lach versus yavish v'yavish, you can say simply because the zero of dogim tameim is only also in the Rabbana. That's how Tosis points out, that's how we assume there it is. Zero of dogim tameim is only also in the Rabbana. So you can say that they didn't want to rely on their rope, and again, to eating the fish itself, that's an issue, the araisa. But when again, to eating the tzir, that's only an issue, the Rabbana, so they would rely on their rope. Can say easy. You don't even need the whole car, but that's what Bitzala Panavej always said a Harid Zignam, and it wasn't absolutely necessary. That was his Harid. But the Rambam, you understand the Gemara Kim Minchay. That's what some want to suggest, is a shaila we just alluded to. What's the din of an isa shenishtana? Let's say if you have the dam and the animal, and dam necha minat zecholov, the dam converts into zecholov. So the Torah says that that's muta. So some Achrayim want to say that's exactly what the pasuk says, that an isa deraisa shenishtana is muta. Like the Rabbeinu Yonah. The Rosh disagrees and he says it's not true. An isa shenishtana is also. He says Rabbeinu Yonah has no mocha. Either pasuk by cholov, that's like there is a cause for the cholov is muta. Shouldn't learn out from cholov. The Eretz Yisrael cholov dash tells you that cholov is mutter, despite the fact that it should have been aser, should have been a yotzei min aser. So it's not that the pasuk is telling you that an isa shenishtane is mutter. No, cholov tarkul isa shenishtane is aser, and cholov is an exception to the rule. So some want to suggest, what if you have an isa shenishtane twice? I started off with a tray for food. And then it converted, I used some kind of an enzyme, whatever, used some kind of an enzyme and converted it into a legumri, a different food. So you say, it's still after the Rosh Hashanah. Then I converted that into a third food. It was nishtana twice, a double shinoi. Some want to suggest that maybe in this is nishtana pamayim should be mutter even according to the Rosh. Why? Because Rav Chaim has a svara, he quotes from in the name of Rav Chaim in the Chidush Metziah Shmua on the sugi of Notzol, in the end of Nozir. Notzol means when you have a dead human body that disintegrated and then liquefied. So there's still a tumas notzol. The Gemara talks about notzol from a behemoth that died, what's it in? Notzol from a sheret, from the Shemayim Shrotzim that I'm talking. So in the sugi of notzol, Rav Chaim has quoted the Shem Rav Chaim that he thought that an Isser, the Araita, Shenishtane, should remain Osir according to the Rosh, because it should lie, that should remain at least the Pchin of Yotzim and Ha'osir Osir. But Yotzim and Ha'osir is a machlokes tesis in the Rambam, whether that's an isa lava or an isa esse. Let's say if you go to the store and you buy ham, and you eat ham, that's an isa lava. What if I drink milk that came from a chazira? So you're in violation of the pasuk bas hayano. So do you get malchus or not? The tesis sheet in chulin is that you get malchus, and the Rambam says the pharish that there's no malchus. The Rambam holds that there's no malchus. Rambam holds that it's only an isa esse. A yotzim and aser is only nefesh shav. Chaim has a piece in the sefer on this. On the machlik is the Rambam and Tosis. Rav Leizer Shach has in his sefer about this. Machlik is the Rambam and Tosis. Whether yotzim and aser also gets malchus, or no, it doesn't get malchus. Stam in nisar esse. If you hold that yotzim and aser is only nisar esse, if you had a nisar deraita that was nishtane, and you hold that the shitas harosh that isar she nishtane remains aser is because our kol ponim it remains yotzim and aser, if that would be nishtane a second time. And you hold like the Rambam that there's no din of a yotzim and aser if it came from an isa rese, only if it came from an isa lav. So once the isa lav was nishtane, so it's considered yotzim and aser. So all you have now is an isa rese of yotzim and aser. If it'll be nishtane a second time, it'll be muta, because it'll be like yotzim and aser that only has an isa rese. So that's why some suggested maybe such a chidush de gedin, that if a tray for food would be nishtane twice, each time it has to undergo a major change. That's also a big discussion in Poskim. What's considered sufficient change to be considered in Nisa Shenishtana? When do you have a discussion? When do you talk about the Machloek is the Russian Rabbeinu Yonah, where the Nisa Shenishtana becomes Mutta? But if you had a major change that the Rabbeinu Yonah would hold his Mutta and the Rosh holds his Aser, the Rosh would be moided to Rabbeinu Yonah if it would be Nishtana a second time, because then perhaps it would be a Yotzim in her essay. Because the first time it was Nishtana, all you had was an Isa Res. Possibility. Questionable. It's Megeladin. Because a lot of times they have tray for food and they use an enzyme, they convert it to one thing that's completely different from what it was originally. Then they use another enzyme to convert it again to a completely different food from the first time and from the second time. So maybe an Isa Shinishtana Pamayim. Even the Rosh would agree. That's the Sharma. Rashi quotes from the Gemara that when Moshe Rabbeinu was telling over the dinim to Bnei Yisrael, Dabru al Bnei Yisrael, Eimo Zos Achayu Ashetochlu, why does it say Zos Achayu, like Zekeli Yanveyu? Zekeli means that they were pointing, here was the Ezra, so here also Moshe Rabbeinu picked up every fish and every animal, he showed him, this is a this and this is a that. He was demonstrating. What was the need for this? It's very strange. Why was it necessary to show them what the animals looked like? Just tell them about them. When we teach in school, we teach fish are only kosher if it has snap of a kaskas. It has to have fins and scales and fatty. You have to go show every fish to the students. You have to demonstrate the photographs. It's not necessary. Say about that. It helps. Better. It's better. I've got to be a movie. But it's good with that. What's that? It's over here, Dabke. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't, on the whole Kol HaTorah from the beginning to the end, he didn't give. He should have given the movies on Oreg. was on even with the movies. We're not sure exactly what Ori, what's going on there with the Ori movies. So why did the bugs, the clays, the worms, whatever? Why did they only get movies of this? Why did they only show over here? So the Biskarov gave a comment. The Rambam, both in the Sefer Mitzvahs and in the Yad HaZaka, quotes the Gemara in the third parak in Makkos regarding different fish. If you eat certain non-kosher fish, they get malchus 4 times, 5 times, 6 times. Ocho patisa lo ka'arba, nemolo lo ka'chamesh, and siro lo ka'shesh. If you eat certain shrotzim, you get multiple malchus. Why do you get so many times malchus? So there's a major dispute there among the Rishonim. So most of the Rishonim and the Ga'onim learn that if you have a kefla lav, if you have a prohibition written in the Torah several times, so according to how many times it says it's also, that's how many times you get malchus. Even though it says 4 times don't eat shrotzim, and you're doing the same violation 4 times, so that warrants 4 times malchus. That's how Rashi takes this in the Ramban on the Sefer Mitzvahs, and the Ramban quotes in the Goyim, Ruba the Ruba of the Rishon Lodak. The one who stands out who disagrees is the Rama. The Rama says there is no such thing as kefla lav, you're going to get malchus many times. It doesn't make sense. In the Minyan Mitzvahs, you only count it once, and since it's only counted once, not to either share it, so you can't give many times malchus because the pasuk is written many times. It doesn't make sense then. But the Gemara says, Ochel Petisa Loika Arba. So he says, no, that means a different thing. It doesn't mean that it says 4 times not to eat a sheret. It means like this: if you eat a sheret hamayim, you get malchus. There's one lav. If you eat a sheret ta'oret, there's one lav. If you eat a sheret ta'of, that flies, there's another lav. If you eat a sheret that's spontaneously generated, there's another lav. What if you eat a sheret that swims, that flies, that dances, that sings, and it's spontaneously generated? But then it says 5 things, so you have 5 different lavim, because you could have had one without the other, could have had that without that. So therefore, since it flies and it swims and it crawls and it's spontaneously generated and it dances and it sings and it plays music also, so you have all of the lavim. That's how the Rambam writes down. So the Ravid writes on that Rambam, Hama'asef Hazeh, he calls the Rambam the Ma'asef, because the Rambam collected a Mishnah Torah. Hama'asef Hazeh, Osaf Dvarim She'enam. This collector collected things that don't exist. Where do you have an animal that swims and it flies and it crawls? How can you have that? The Rambam says that the spontaneous. Was this proven by Louis Pasteur, no?
Ready.
This, he made experiments and he proved that there's no such thing as spontaneous generation. And then the communist scientists published books that you can have spontaneous generation. It was a hechrech, you should keep in mind, it was a hechrech from their religion. Their religion preaches that God doesn't exist. The communists also have a religion. Their religion preaches that God doesn't exist. If you say you can't have spontaneous generation, so all animals, all life comes from previous life. That comes from another life. So where did the first life come from? You have to say, came the Ribbono Shel Olam made it. It can't come Yesh Me'ah. But if you don't believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam, you have to say it happened by itself. So the communists, when they started promulgating their shita right after the communist revolution, so they forced their scientists to print scientific proof that you can have spontaneous generation. Otherwise, the whole shita is up gefreg. So the early communist scientists printed, we believe in spontaneous generation. The whole like the Rambam. A lot means I made. For different reasons. They had a hechrech. They had a hechrech to say that the Rambam is right. Otherwise the whole anti-religious position is impossible. And so how do you have any life existing in the world that's not spontaneous generation? Who made the first one? Yeah. So the Ravid is masik on this Rambam in Hilchos Macholos Asuris. And he says, "Hamasif hazeh osav dvarim she'enom." What does the Ravid mean? The Ravid asks that it doesn't exist. What doesn't exist? Spontaneous generation doesn't exist. What exactly is the Ravid asking now? And the Rambam holds that it does exist. The Rambam holds that it doesn't exist. So the Biskarov said that he thinks that what they're fighting about is this. The Ravid is asking, apparently the Rambam says, and the Ravid is not going to disagree, that there is such an animal that flies and it swims and it crawls on the ground. There is such an animal, but the Ravid asks that Al-Pidin, in order to label an animal as a Sheret HaMayim, or a sheretz ha'aretz, or a sheretz ha'o, it has to be miyuchad like that. A sheretz ha'mai means that it always swims. So then it can't be a sheretz ha'aretz. A sheretz ha'aretz means that its basic time is spent once in a while. We go swimming in the ocean also, but basically we stay on the dry land. So we're not called, amphibious. We're not called amphibious beings. We're beings who live on the dry land. The fish, once in a while, face the frogs, sometimes they come on the dry land also, but basically the frogs live in the water. So the right is tiny against the Rambam is, you have to be koveya when you're discussing kviyas amin, of any given sheretz, to be koveya whether it's a sheretz hamayim or a sheretz ha'of or a sheretz ha'oretz, it should be nikva based on what the animal normally does. How can it be? That's what he says, al pidin. How can it be that you label one animal as three different things? That's how the Biskarov suggested pshat and the Ravid is. What the Ravid is masig about. And what is taka the Rambam hold? Charitza guta taina. The Ravid is in Perik Beis and Macholos Asurois. Aloch Chav Gimel. Kosef haRavid zol haMaasef hazeh osef dvarim she'enam ba'olam. Shelo shamayinu miyameinu nemolo gedelo b'mayim v'lo sheretzov godol b'mayim. He doesn't ask about spontaneous generation. That he goes along with the Rambam. Somehow they all assume that there was spontaneous generation. Well, it looks like it. Okay. So the Ravid asks on this: how can you have a nemolo, which is gedela b'mayim, or a sheretzov godel b'mayim? Either it's considered a fowl, or it's considered a fish, or it's considered an animal from the dry land. V'mishvil shasholim dogim yochlim. Ah, you have fowls that swim in, that fly down into the river in order to catch fish. Then they jump up again. So because they dip their necks, because they dip their mouth, their beaks into the river for a few seconds, therefore the fowl is considered a sheretz hamayim. V'mishvil shasholim dogim yochlim tosu biyodoi. Nah, that's a min ha'of. That's not called a min hamayim. That's the hasagas ha'raivit. The rabbi says al pidin, it should be nikva as one min or the other. So Rav Ravala said that perhaps the Rambam Shita is that's why Moshe Rabbeinu showed it to Bnei Yisrael, and he told them that it doesn't depend on what it should be labeled as scientifically. Scientifically, the Ravid is right that you have to divide all the animals into three categories: sheretz hamayim, sheretz ha'aretz, and sheretz ha'of. Either it's a bird, or it's a fowl, or it's a fish, or it's an animal from the dry land. But the Rambam holds, that's why the Rabbanu Shlom told them, Dabru b'nei Yisrael leimor zosachayu, show them, if it looks like it swims, even though scientifically it should not be labeled as a sheretz hamayim, if it looks like it crawls on the ground, even though basically it belongs in the river, still that's enough to label it as a sheretz hamayim and a sheretz ha'of and so on. Perhaps that's the reason why he showed them, because here the din depends on the marah, it doesn't depend on what it actually is. This is what the Briskarov said regarding the Shekesher Shalfilin also. Why the Gemara says that V'isas HaChayrai Fanelei Ro Melam Sheharei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Rabbeinu Kesher Shalfilin. What was the significance of showing the Kesher Shalfilin? Rav Elbala has in his safe, he quotes in Zarua. He interprets the Zarua saying like this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu that it should be B'tzuras Dalet. Not that the Kesher in the back of the Shalrosh is a Dalet. No, if he didn't, it's not a Dalet. It's a Kesher B'tzuras Dalet. What's the difference whether it is a dalet or it's a kesher? B'tzuras Dalet. So Rav Elbala has a sefer about that. So he says that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was shown the kesher, because the halacha depended on the tzuras dalet. It wasn't a real dalet. So here also, maybe the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu showed what the shiratzim looked like is because here the dinim of shiratzim depend on the marah and what it looks like, as opposed to what it actually is scientifically. Ramban has a chiddush on the pasuk Kaskes is quoted by the Magid Mishneh b'shem the Ramban, and then the later pasukim discuss it. Ramban has a chiddush regarding Kaskes. Sometimes you have a fish with the kaskosois, the scales are attached on both sides, and in order to remove the scales you have to take a knife and stick it under the Kaskes and yank each one out individually. Normal Kaskes, normal scales that you have on a fish are all attached in one direction. So if your mother takes it, the fish store. Maybe years ago, my mother used to make her own cheese. She used to make her own, she used to salt her own chickens. She used to scrape off the fish herself. But now everything is taken care of. Now you have Jewish stores that make the cheese ready for you. You have to make your own cheese. We lived in Pennsylvania, so then there were no Jews there. There was no Jewish cheese, you had to make your own cheese. So I remember my mother, she used to take a knife and she used to scrape off the fish. You scrape in one direction, get off all the scales, come and do it for Ramban. Ramban says that's the only kaskeses that halacha recognizes. The kaskeses that's attached on both sides and you have to put the knife under it. In order to yank it off, it can't be scraped off by scraping in one direction. That's not considered a kaskeses, that's kigufa fish. That's considered part of the skin of the fish that doesn't count as a kaskeses. That's the big issue. And then some later poskim, some later achrayim disagree with the Ramban. They hold, where did he get it from? He has Rambaka, just an original chiddush. And they think la locha that it's not correct. So that's the shaila regarding the swordfish, if I'm not mistaken, no? Sturgeon. There are a couple of fish that in different communities in Europe they would eat, in other communities they wouldn't eat. And what was the issue? So the issue is it has kaskeses. It's not a scientific debate. Everybody knows that it has kaskeses. But the shaila is whether you hold from this Ramban or not. If the kaskeses is attached to both ends, is that a chisorin or not? The Ramban holds that it's no good. Some later post came on make up against the Ramban. Pasuk in Parashat Shmini, Rashi quotes from the Torah's Kohanim, L'hafta ben atoma ben atoa ben achaya achalitz ben achaya shalos le'yocheel. So Rashi quotes, L'havdil ben a nishchat chetzio le nishchat rubo. When you shech the kona and the veshet, so you have to shech rubo y roiv of the simen. You shech chetzio is not enough. And how much is the difference between kama, what's the difference between nishchat chetzio and nishchat rubo? It's kechut ha'sayu. This is the shayla, the Taz, and the Yeridea discusses it. We really pass like that. It's enough if the roiv is 50.00001% of the kana when geshachta. Chut ha'sayr is enough. You don't have to have a roiv ha'nira lo'inayim, a roiv ha'nikir. Taz has a discussion in Yeridea based on the Gemara and Chulin, the first pair of Chulin. Is that enough? A roiv that just made it barely, is that sufficient to be master the shayla? End of the Sedra, you have all the dinam of some of the dinam of Tumas. Torah says that a klicheres is mikabel tuma only migabo, not only mitocho, not migabo. If you touch it on the outside, all other kelim are mikabel tuma. Are really mikabel tuma on the inside or the outside? Not all kelim are mikabel tuma. Glass kelim are only mikabel tuma with the rabbanan. Then Torah does not mention in the Chumash. So the Torah that in the days of the Chumash they had glass kelim, but the Torah doesn't say that it's mekabel tuma, so it's not. The Torah has kli yetzah mekabel tuma, kli matechas mekabel tuma. That's also a shayla. All kli matechas mekabel tuma are only those matches that are mentioned by the Chumash. That was a big dispute in Achrayna whether aluminum kelim are mekabel tuma or not. Aluminum is metal, but it's not one of the six metals mentioned by the Chumash. So the Tiferes Yisrael points out that from the Vilna Gaon it would appear that only those six meaning matechas mentioned by the Chumash are mekabel tuma and others not. And the Tiferes Yisrael and Mishnayos thinks that it's not correct. He thinks that all matechas are mekabel tuma. He said b'shem Rab Chaim that he held like that diuk in the Vilna Gaon, that only the six matechas are mekabel tuma, others not. And others disagree. It's hashada. Rab Moshe is like that in his safety. Also, Rab Moshe writes on his own. He doesn't quote that the Tiferes Yisrael said that the Vilna Gaon seems to hold like that. He doesn't quote that they say that Rab Chaim held like that. Moshe writes on his own, an original chiddush. Others, a lot of people jumped on Moshe. How did he know to say like that? So others pointed out, but he wasn't the first one who said it. It seems that there was such an idea floating around in the air. In different countries in Europe, a lot of people in the last 200 years thought like that. Until 200 years ago, they never realized that aluminum was a separate metal. They never realized that there are any other metals other than the six that appear in Chumash. Because the other metals, the aluminum, always used to be found together with the iron. So they never separated it. But now we know that iron is one metal, aluminum is another metal. There are several more metals. And that's a shaila whether the metals that are not mentioned are mekabotum. Anyway, kli mateche, kli cheres is one of the kalim that is mekabotum. Klei adoma are not mekabotum. Klei adoma, klei glolim, klei avonim are not mekabotum at all. Lomi divitervi, lomi divisayu. And klei schuchis are mekabotum with the rabbanon. The Gemara has in the first parak in Shabbos a whole discussion about that. And kli cheres on the kabel tuma only on the inside, not on the outside. But on the inside is the kabel tuma me aviro. You don't even need maga.
All you need is, let's say, to take a dead sheretz and to dangle it, and to dangle it inside. Let's say, have a dead mouse. One of the Shemana Shratzim Amurim HaTorah. Shratzim Amitami doesn't mean dead bugs that are inside the ground. Shemana Shratzim, you only have eight rodents that are Mitami when they're dead. So if you take one of these rodents and you hold it inside the Kli Cheres, even though it's not touching the walls of the Kli Cheres, so the Pasuk says that then it's Tomei. Sheep of Mehem El Teicha, Kol HaShem B'Socha Yitzchak. There's two chidushim of the Kli Cheres. It's not Mekabel Tumah from the outside, and from the inside it's Mekabel Tumah Me'avira, even without Maga. And the third chidush is that it has no Tara B'Mikveh. All other Kelim that become Tomei have Tara B'Mikveh, and Kli Cheres, Shteit V'Oso Sishbor. The only way to remove the tumor is by smashing the kli. This halacha of shviras hakli being mitahir, that's not limited dafke to kli cheres. That'll work on other kelim as well. But on the other kelim, meshuga dafne zayin. Why should the guy want to break the kli? He'll just be tevelin and the mikveh will become tov. But by kli cheres, it has no tevelin and mikveh. So the only way to be mitahir it is aydei shvira. Sometimes by the other kelim also, you'll be interested in smashing it. The Gemara in the first perek in Shabbos describes. What Shlom Tzion HaMalka did, Queen Salome. She knew how to learn. She was the sister of Shimon HaShetach. She learned for her brother, whatever. So they were throwing a big party one day, and they were Nizan Tumim Batahara. They lived as Manavai. So they wanted everything to be Batahara. And then they found a mace, and all of the Kalim in their kitchen, all the Kli Matechas had become Tami because of the mace. So when you have Kalim that were Tami because of the mace, it takes at least a week to be mitairit. You have to do hazash lishi shvi, like an adam shenit b'meis. So the same thing, kli matecha shenit b'meis. You have to have hazash lishi shvi, and after the hazash shvi, then you have to be tovelet in the mix, and then it becomes tohar. And she didn't have a week to spend on being mitahir the kelim, because she was having a party less than a week. So she had her experts smash each and every kli matechas. They made a crack that was big enough to make it ice kli, and then they started it together again. So every time they smashed the kli, the tumah disappeared. And then when they glued it back together again, so the tumah didn't come back yesh me'ayin. And Shimon ben Shetach didn't like that idea. So I'm fine. He didn't like that idea. The whole din of Hazash Lishishvi will be forgotten. Too much of a harama. So he instituted at that time a gzerim of the rabbanon of tumah yishana. That if a kli mateches was once nitma b'meis, and then you were mishaber it, and it became tohor, and then you glued it back together again, you made it back into a kli mateches that's functional. So the old tumah comes back again. The tumah yishana comes back. So it's a special gzera mid rabbanon of tumah yishana because of that ma'aseh shohar.
That if you glue it back to any new or stuck at the original kli?
I don't remember for sure. I think it's only if it's the original. I'm not sure.
I want to talk about metal, even when it's, you know, locked. This guy's a rogue metal, which is originally coming. And, you know, you have a mixture of metal, which is melted down from the kaolin's name, and then you have some metal, which is hard to make with any kaolin.
Yeah.
Of course, he collected the rogue, so.
There's also a din of Tumi Yishana even there?
Yishana,
oh,
yeah.
I don't know. He says it's not so. He says what I just said is against this one. Could be. I don't remember. Could be. Torah says there are two ways to be mitayah. Those things that have to be a little mikveh, there are two ways, either a mayan or a bor mikveh mayan. Either a mayan is dafke mitahir bezochlin, while it's flowing, and the mayan, the source of the water, is from under the ground. And bor mikveh mayan means when the source of the water is megishamim, mahavshor ashlogim. So that has to be mikveh mayan, kovah v'kayim. That has to be standing still in one place. You can either use a mayan or a mikveh. Some tameim, some instances you require dafke amayon. When do you need dafke amayon? So the pasuk says by a zav you need mayim chayim. Mayim chayim means amayon. Then you need by preparation. When you prepare. When you prepare Afer Para, when you take a paradum and you burn it, so it says you have to take Mayim Chayim El Keli, you have to take dafke water from a Mayon and mix it with the Afer Para, and then be mazed that water on the person's stomach. So that's a special din, that's not, you're not being table in the Mayon, but it's a special din, you have to have dafke Mayim Chayim. And who else needs Mayim Chaim? Also, for the Taharas HaMetzuri, you need Mayim Chaim Dafkan. So the Mishnah lists off that there are three times the Torah insists Dafkan using Mayim Chaim. By the Zav, by the Taharas HaMetzuri, and by the Hazor HaSmechadu. What about a Zava? Does a Zava need Mayim Chaim? So Rashi, in several places in Shas, quotes from the Goyim that Tvila Zava also needs Mayim Chaim. The Ramban HaChumash also quotes that. Ramban HaChumash at the end of Metzorah, the end of Parshas Metzorah, where the Chumash speaks about a Zav and a Zava and a Nida, all the different forms of Tumah by Yodam. So the Ramban at the end of Metzorah quotes that the Gaonim insist on having Mayim Chaim for a Zava, and it's not correct. It's against the Tosefta Megillah. Megillah says, the Tosefta Megillah says, Eimei Zav Lezav Elah, Shahazav Ton Mayim Chaim, Hazav Eina Tuna Mayim Chaim. Rashi sometimes quotes that Tosefta. When he quotes the Gaonim, he quotes the Tosefta that it's wrong. And sometimes in Shas he quotes the Gaonim and he leaves it like that, that a Zava needs Mayim Chaim. The Bach wants to farenfer the Gaonim, that it's not the Gaonim HaMamsh in contradiction to the Tosefta. Some Achronim want to farenfer the Tosefta says that a Zava does not need Mayim Chaim means the Natoira. I mean, the Rabbanon, she does need Mayim Chaim. Where did they get it from? Where did it say? So they interpreted the Gemara like that. The Gemara says, Avua de Shmuel, Shmuel's father made some kind of a mikveh for his daughters during the summertime, during the wintertime. So Rashi quotes from the Goinim that that's the pshat in the Gemara, that he prepared a special mikvah of Mayim Chaim for the daughters to be tovelin. Because Nashi Didan, Bizmanazeh, when Machman, that all the treatment, all the women are treated as if they are Zavos. The Zava needs Mayim Chaim. So that's how they interpreted the Gemara, Zava needs Mayim Chaim. And the Bahag writes like that, Zava needs Mayim Chaim. So that's the Bahag based it on that Gemara. Either Tosefta says the Pharisee, you don't need Mayim Chaim. The Bach says, "Umid the Rabbanon, you need Mayim Chaim." The Nateri don't. Umid the Rabbanon, you do. That's why there are still some Chassidim today. Well, Makbid that in some Chassidishi communities, they're chayshish for the Bach, for the Shita Sagan. Even the Ramban and Rashi say it's absolutely wrong. The Machma that the women have to daf to be tovel in Mayim Chaim. Rabbi Tanna pointed out that it's much more healthy if you have a mayon, if you have a mikveh, so the water is stagnant. So if one woman has any kind of an infection, so all the women are going to use the mikveh after her are going to pick up that infection. And the infection that appears in the water in the mikveh is much higher, much, much higher than it is in a mayon. If you have a mayon, so it keeps on cleaning itself out. He made some studies, research on this. Today it's again. But that's for health reasons. Okay, for health reasons. Shabbat al Pidin, whether you really need Mayim Chaim. So the Ramban and Rashi say that it's all wrong, that you don't need Mayim Chaim. And mikveh has to have dafka aboyim sor. That's how the Gemara says. The Gemara bases it on the pasuk. Merachat says, "Kol b'sora b'mayim, I'm shekol gufo elohem b'vasachas." The kamo shiru chachomim mem sor. The Gemara has a lashon shiru chachomim. That's a machlokes in Achrayim. Some Achrayim say that it's only the Rabbanim. And I tell you, if a person can fit into a mikveh that's less than Memsor, let's say a midget or a baby, can fit into a mikveh that's less than Memsor, so that would also be good. And most of the Rishonim say that that's not correct, that the requirement for a Memsor in a mikveh is an absolute requirement thereice, and even though it says v'shi'aru chachamim, that means there had to be kaveya shir, how much is mayim shekongu for elubahem b'vasach, so they said the shir is Memsor. So even if you're a midget, you need menatera Memsor. If you're a giant, if a person is a giant or a big fat person, he can't fit into a mikveh that's only mem, so he need a bigger mikveh. Somebody need a bigger mikveh. It's a double pasha like that. The Darkin Tshuva attacks that Aruch HaShulchan. He says it's apikursus. What do you mean? If the Halacha says that mem so, it's mem so. What do I care if the guy's a giant? The Halacha still says that mem so. You don't need more. What is he attacking? It's a double pasha. You have to have three less kol guf of a mind. If the guy's a giant, it's just physically impossible to be tied one of that. So what does he say? What is that? Darach HaShulchan is wrong. How can it be wrong? It's impossible that he's wrong. Unless you have a mikveh that's shaped according to the shape of his body. So then Nataki won't need more than Memsor. But they don't make mikvahs like that. That should be so fat in the middle and so skinny over there and the fingers should stick in. So of course, in the Metzius, you're going to need more than Memsor. So Chazal Pasha that Darach HaShulchan is wrong. But this is a shal. The Gemara says that min atayru for tefilas kelim, all you need is reviyas. The Gemara in the first parak of Sochem, the Daf Yomi people are learning it now. The Sugi Rav Chanin is gonna come, I think they're learning now. So the Gemara says the Ferish min atayru, a mikvah of reviyas is sufficient for tefilas kelim. If you have a needle that became tamei, that you don't have to have a whole mikra of menstrual menatayra. It's only but the Rabbanan, the Gemara says, and those are demavatul. The clue of the reviyasa the mikra, demavatul, that din that the reviyas is enough for tzvilas kelim, and they required mid the Rabbanan memso even for kelim. That's a shaila, Rab Chaim. They quote b'shem Rab Chaim et Yashmur. What's the nature of this din of requiring memso for tzvilas adam as opposed to tzvilas kelim? They say that there are two chapters of a mikveh. There's a mikveh of memso and there's a mikveh of revius, and this is good for adam, this is good for kelim. But they say no, every mikveh is basically revius. But this halacha, you have to have ma'im shekol gufa al b'hem b'asachas. And the Chachamim said that even if you're a midget and you can, and you're, if you're a giant, you need more. Even if you're a midget and you can really theoretically fit into a mikveh of 20 saw, of 10 saw, a tiny little baby can fit into much less. So still the Chachamim insisted, maybe it's a din d'oraisa, maybe it's a din d'rabbana, whatever it is, the Chachamim insisted that you always need 40 saw for the Maisa HaTfilo. If you don't have 40 saw, so it's not, it's considered as if you were table one limb at a time. It's considered as if the Maisa HaTfilo was done in an improper fashion. Maisa HaTfilo has to be kol guf o'el b'hem b'vasachas. That's the shayla. What's an afkemina? What's an afkemina? Whether the need for mem saw is because we require a more stringent level of a mikveh. This is a mikveh of revius. This is a mikveh of memso. It's a din in the chetz of the mikveh. But you say no, the chetz of the mikveh is really the same. A revius is sufficient in HaTorah, but it's a din in the ma'isa tefilos of Adam. So Rab Chaim suggests that there should be the following nafkamina perhaps. What if you have a mikveh of memso that's all ma'im shuvim? So that's no good. You can't be totally ma'im shuvim. So you have to make a hashoka to a mikveh ksheira. So let's say you'll make a hashoka to a mikveh that has only revius. So for tefilas kelim it'll be good menatera, because the first mikveh that has a revius is good menatera. You made a hashoka to a kosher mikveh. What about the tefilas adam? See, if you hold it al pidi with two mikvahs, is a mikveh revius for tefilas kelim and a mikveh of memsor for tefilas adam, two different cheptas of a mikveh. So the mikveh of memsor that was all shuvim that had a hashoka to the mikveh revius will be in an in-between stage. It'll be, it's considered as if it had hashoka to a kosher mikveh only to the extent of tefilas kelim's name, but it won't be considered a good mikveh for the purpose of tefilas adam, because as far as tefilas adam is concerned, it never had hashoka to a kosher mikveh. But on the other hand, you should say that the requirement for mem soh for tefilas adam is not a requirement in the chetz of the mikveh. The mikveh biatz musa is good even with a revius. The mikveh is good for revius. But it's a din of ma'isa ha'tfilo. You can't do a ma'isa ha'tfilo. Ma'im shel kol gufa el b'hem v'asachas. The halacha requires you have to have mem soh b'shas when you're doing the ma'isa ha'tfilo. So if you do a hashok on 40 soh mikveh, will be mushok to a mikveh of a revius, and you're doing a tfilo, ma'isa ha'tfilo in the mem soh, so then in lachar it should be good. That's the Rab Chaim point out. That'll be the nafkamina in this shayla.
Shouldn't the fact that we require mem soh even for nanas indicate that it's not, that it's basically the mikveh, you just need, Dimur Revius is enough for mikveh, you just need Ma'im Shulam, and why would you say that if a person had enough, that you shouldn't need 47 anyway?
Some say that that's only with the Rabbanan. Some say that a midget requires Memstor, Shi'ar HaChamim, it's only with the Rabbanan. In Nivna, we don't assume like that. We assume like the, or most of the Rishonim, all the Rishonim, you cannot say the Feirish. The Memstor is the Rice, they say, you can still insist. The Shi'ar HaChamim Memstor, they had to make a standard Shi'ar. Why did they have to? I don't know. Maybe they wanted to make a standard Shi'ar. So there were kaveya that we always declare that the shear of Maim Shekal Gufa Ha'el B'Hem V'Asachas has to be Memso. You can still say that it's a din in the Maiz and Tefilas Adam. There's a big machlekes in Rishayim whether a Mayon requires Memso for Tefilas Adam. Does a Mayon require Memso for Tefilas Adam? The Rashbo and the Torah Sabayis on Hilchos Mikvot, that's the first paragraph in the Rashbo. The quotes of machlekes are Ben Tam and other Balei HaTosfos, whether Mayon. Some shonim hold up, why do you need mayim? You have to have mayim shekol gufa elohem v'asachas. And others say, no, what do you mean? It's a shear in the chetz of the mikveh. How does it apply to a mayim? A mayim doesn't have a shear. A mayim is metar b'kol shu. It doesn't even need memso. Even for tefilas adam, it doesn't need memso. This is the Feirish HaMachlokes in Rishayim, this shayla. Rab Chaim claims that this nafkimina he got from the sefer, from the Torah Habayis. I don't know where it is. Is that if you make a hashoket, you have a mikveh of a revius, and you make a hashoka to a mikveh that has memsor ma'im shuvim, well, the second mikveh that just would make kosher, the hashoka, will that only be good for tefilas kelim? And after that, will it even be good for tefilas adam? So he claims that this nafkamina states in the Rashbo. I don't know. That's what he said. You gotta look in the Rashbo, it's fine. It's an interesting nafkamina.
Once the revius is off,
What do you mean, batel? But if you make a hashoket, we assume in Shulchan Aruch like the Rosh. The Rosh writes in Mikvois and Hilchos Mikvois that once you have a kosher mikveh, whatever you need for a kosher mikveh, you can imar ba'olov, kol meimish ha'boilom, maim shuvim, whatever you want, and they'll all have a hashoket and they'll all become kosher. And everything will become kosher because of the little mikveh. The Rosh, Amri Shonim, will say, not so. Tais is quoted to Rabbeinu Hananel that if you have a mikveh that has 40 saw, and you dump into it 50 saw, or 41 saw, maim shuvim, and it's all mixed in together, so nothing is good. So you can't be tovel in the whole thing. But we don't pass him like that. We pass him like Maisim Bechol Yad. We always know it like the Rosh. Everybody does like that. That all you need is a mikvah v'aboyim so. Then you could add on like the Rosh writes, kol meim shaboylam, and they'll all become yeah. If you have a mikvah, min ha-Torah that a revi is used to be a kosher mikvah. The Gemara says, the bizman is it, bitluhu l'reviyasa. They were mevatel, the Gemara's Lashon and Nazir, they were mevatel the revius for a mikvah. The Gemara lists off all the different things that the shear is revius in Nazir. So then the Gemara says, why don't you list off a mikveh? So the Gemara says, because Bizman Azed doesn't fly anymore because they're mevatel like this. For the Rabbanan, you need memso, even for Tfilat Kalim in a mikveh. At the end of Shmini, you have the dinaman of Macholos of Minim Temeim. By dogim and by behemoth machayas and by yoitos, and then you have the dinim of mesim, tumas hames. Then you have the din of tumas oichlam. You have oichlam amakabal tuma and mashkim amakabal tuma. Kol oichal ashayachal b'chol. The kol oichal ashayachal ashayav all of maim yitmo, you need hashemayim b'chol mashkim ashayishas b'chol kli yitmo. The Gemara in Rab Chanina's Gana Koinim, the end of the first parak in Sochim, has a three way machloikis how to read this pasuk. B'chol mashkim ashayishas b'chol kli. Yitmok. Maze Yitmok. So one Tan is of the opinion that Mashkim are not Mekabel Tumim in Atayr at all. The whole institution of Tumas Mashkim is only the Divrei Sefer. It's not in Atayr. I believe it's a Chavaferish Apostle. Chamashka Shishasa B'chol Kli Yitmok. So that Tan says no. The word Yitmok means any Mashke which is Ashayishasa, which is Royal Ishtiyah, Yitmok can be Machshir Oichel Mekabel Tumim. But it does mean that it is Mekabel Tumim. And the next sheet in the Gemara is that's not so. We pass them that like the next sheet. No, it's not true. Hamashke that you need mashke to be machshir reichlim. That's other psukim. How does it say? V'chiyut amayim al zera. V'nachum l'vasim tami hu. It says before kol oichel asheyachal asheyavol of mayim itma. It says already. You have psukim. What do you need another pasuk to say? Hamashke sheishasu b'chol kli yitma. That it's machshir. You don't need a third pasuk. You already have two psukim and you know all the dinim. So the next tana that we pass them like hold hamashke sheishasu b'chol kli yitma. That is Mekabel Tumah. The Mashke is Mekabel Tumah. But can the Mashkim Tmeim be Metamek? Can it transmit the Tumah to something else? So we pass in that Tumah Satzmam is Menatera. And Metamek Acherim, that's only the Rabbanah. The Aloha, there is Aloha. The Mashkim Tmeim can transmit the Tumah to Oichlin. Mashkim can be Metamek Oichlin. So that's only the Rabbanah. Oichlin that are Mekabel Tumah can transmit the Tumah to Mashkim, that's the Dimenatera. But the Mashkim can become Tumah is Menatera, but that the Mashkim can transmit the Tumah to an Oichel, to make it Tumah, that's only the Rabbanah. And the third sheet in Tanoim that is not accepted, we pass in like the centrist opinion, the middle sheet. And Yitmo, the Yitmo means Tumas Atzmi Yeshlahem, Latami Acherim is only the Rabbanah. And the other extreme sheet is no, Yitmo Afilo Latami Acherim is Menatar. That Mashkima Mekabel Tumim Menatar, and they can even transmit the Tumim to something else Menatar. Those are the three sheets. No, that's for sure not. That's for sure not. The Gemara learns that from Sukkim also, that Oichel Minatera Oichel can only transmit Tumah to Mashke, and Mashke can transmit Tumah to Oichel. But ain't Oichel Metamei Oichel, ain't Mashke Metamei Mashke. It's only Metamei and opposite. No, Midirabbanan they can. Midirabbanan they can transmit Tumah. But Minatera it doesn't. I don't remember. Gemara has that there's more tumor. The more chumer is by kachin than there are by chumer. The more chumer is by truma than by chumer. The more chumer is by kachin than by truma. Yeah. And the Gemara with the Taisus in the first parak himself and discussed how much of this could possibly be minatayra. Let's say we say that by chulen, there are different opinions in Tanoim in the Mishnah and Sota, but we pass that by chulen, the tumor can only go to the level of sheni. And by truma, it can go to the level of shlishi. If a sheni touches truma, it makes him to a shlishi. But that's as far as it goes. And shlishi is also revi ba kodesh, and revi can make a hamishi by paraduma, and that's all. By Truma, you never have passed the Shlishi, by Kachma, you never have passed the Revi, and by Paradum, you never have passed the Hamishi. So the question is, are these things in our Torah? Is it possible to have a Revi by Kodesh in our Torah? How is that possible? Let's figure out a case. Let's say you have Odom Mekalim could only be Mekabel Tumah if they come in contact with an Abha Tumah. So if they came in contact with an Abha Tumah, they'll become a Rishon Tumah. So let's say you have an Odom or a Kli, which is a Rishon Tumah. Then it touches Odom Mekalim. It can't be Metame yet. Odom Mekalim has to become Tome by coming in contact with an Abha Tumah. So the Odom, who is a Rishon Tumah, because he touched an Av, has to touch Eichel Mamashkim. So touch Eichel Mamashkim will make it into a Sheni Lutumah. Fine. So the Sheni Lutumah will not touch Truma. If it touches Chula, it won't be Mitarma. The Sheni will touch Truma, and will make it into a Shlishi. But what's touching what? Is it a Mashke that's touching an Eichel? A Mashke is not Mitarma, a Mashke, and a Tarma, is not Mitarma, and a Tarma. Is it a Mashke that's touching an Eichel? So we pass the Mashke, and not Mitarma, a Cherim, and a Tarma, with the Rabbanon. Tuma starts with Yeshlan, the Tarma, a Cherim, is only with the Rabbanon. Let's have it the reverse order. The Odom touched an Avatume and I became a Rishon. Then I touched Oichlin. That became a Sheni. Then this Sheni touched Truma, which was a Mashke, a bottle of wine of Truma, which was a Mashke, so it became a Shlishi. Then the Shlishi is going to touch Kodesh, going to make it a Revi. The Tosafot says, but Mashke manat matami acher. So it's impossible to have on the level of the rice, it's impossible to have Revi by Kodesh. Mashke touches ochel, so mashke l'tami acherim is only the rabbanon. The three pshatim on this pasuk, b'chol mashke, she shows b'chol kli. Anything, you're right. Mashke l'tami mashke for sure is only the rabbanon. Even according to the shita that mashkim can be l'tami ochelim in atayrah, but mashke l'tami mashke is only the rabbanon. So Taisus discusses, is it ever possible to ever viva kodesh? On the level of the Raisa, if you hold mashke l'tami acherim only the rabbanon, it's physically impossible. So how do you have a drasha? Nigmar learned it out from a pasuk that there's such a thing as Revi Bakar. How can it be a pasuk? Unless you say, Tomi Asmach, the Taisus says, Tomi Asmach. Or, unless you come up with a new Ein file, and you'll say that the din that you have Revi Bakodesh doesn't mean that the Tumah is transmitted from one thing to the other. It's not only because it's transmitted, it's a din. Habas HaShigah B'chol Tomei Lo Yeochel. There's a pasuk that says, Habasar B'sar Kochim HaShigah B'chol Tomei. It touched the davar tamei lo yeyochol. It's a psul in the kachim. Even if the kachim didn't become tamei, even if the tumah wouldn't be transmitted, it's halacha that kachim that came in contact, that touched the davar tamei, may not be. That's how some want to say that. That's a din menater. There's a gemara in Psachim. I think I'd daf lam and dalek, but the gemara says that if you have mayim tmeim and you do hashoke, then they become tohar. But what if the mayim were kachim and they did hashokah, so it still may not be used for kachim? Why? So the simple reading is that it's a chumrim with the rabbanon, a maila. But someone will learn it's not just a chumrim with the rabbanon, because the halacha of hashokah is that hashokah removes the tumah, but it doesn't wipe off the past history. The past history was habas hashigah b'chol tamei lo yochel. Sof kol sof, the mashkim, the mayim touched the davar tamei. So the Mayim that touch the Dabba Tami become Tami themselves. If you do Ashoka, the tumah is removed. But the history is not wiped off. The fact still is, Yiga B'chol Tami. Yiga B'chol Tami is Lo Yeyochel. So that's how the Lumush Mordechai wants to say. On Kachin. He wants to say that that's a Din Deraisa. When Kachin touch a Dabba Tami, it gets a Psul Tami. Even if it's not Mekabel Tumah. Even if it was Mekabel Tumah and you got rid of the tumah, it still retains the Psul Tumah. So maybe that's how you can have Revi B'Kodesh V'Natoy. Even though the Mashkim not mitami acherim at all. Minatora, that's how we paskin. But still, the mashkim atamei. So for ochlim of kodesh will touch the mashkim that are truma, that are shlishi. It'll be chal de dina kolochal she habas hashigi b'chol tamei lo yochel. Good question. Taisa says that it's only an asmach. Taisa says the way we paskin la locha that mashkim are not mitami acherim in atayro, and ochlim are not mitami ochlim. You have to have ochlim mitami mashkim. And have to have opposites, so then it's impossible to have a Revi B'Kodesh. I don't think so. No, I don't. That's only a mila for sure, Midrabban. I don't think so. I don't think it's ever mentioned in the Gemara. I think the Rash quotes it from a Tosef, but I don't think it's ever mentioned in the Gemara in Taisa that there's a din of Chamishi by Purim. The Gemara in the last Perek in Yuma has a drash Mekov Ha'echal Asher Yeyachel. What does it mean, Asher Yeyachel? The Beis Habliya we discussed before Pesach when we talked about the Mordechai's Kasha. How can you swallow the three Kazais of Basachas, a Kazais of Matzah, and a Kazais of Mar, and a Kazais of Charoset? That was the lesson of the Mordechai that they corrected as Isa from Pesach. Whatever he talks about, how can you swallow three Kazais of Basachas if two Kazais constitute a Kebetor? The Gemara says in the last Perek in Yuma that ain't Beis Habliya Matzah gets to me Beitza Achas. So that Pesach, the Gemara comments on this, but Kolach al Asher Yochel, the oichel for tuma purposes has to have the volume of a kibetza, because that's the mashmoes of the loshmi. Kol oichel asher yochel, how much oichel can you possibly swallow? Bevasachas, vein beis habliya machzik yosem mibetzachas. That's how the Gemara says. So this is a big machlokes, famous machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos and Psachim and the Nozir and in other places. What does that mean that oichel for tuma purposes has to be kibetza? The Rashi says tuma satzmon. If you have oichel less than a kibetza, it can be mekabel tuma min atayra. But tami acherim. You need kibetz. To transmit tumah to acherim, you need kibetz. And within Rashi, in the Shlamelach has a tilpul, what's the din? Let's say these are two oichlim. I took an egg and I cut it in half. And I touched, I'm tummy, and I touched this half of the egg, so it's tummy minatar. I touched this half of the egg, it's tummy minatar. Then I didn't touch anymore. Then someone takes the two halves of the egg, he puts them together, and he takes a piece of, takes a mashkim, and the mashkim touches that. So do you say, when I touched the chatzi beitza, it was mekabel tumah min atar. I touched this, it was mekabel tumah min atar. Now I put the two together, so I have a kibetza of a davar tamei. Kibetza of a davar tamei, it's been metamei echem. And he said, no. Melechatchila, when I was metamei it, it only had a chatzi tumah. If it was a chatzi beitza, it only had tumah satzman. It didn't have the ability to transmit tumah. So even if I put it together later, if someone will put the two together, if I'll put it together, I'll be metamei it again. But if someone else will put it together, it only has tumah satzman. Even though now you can have a ton. A ton of Echel Mutmeyim. But since Bishas, when it was Mekabel Tumah, was Pachas Mikibetza, so now the Tumah will never ever be able to be transmitted. You have to have a Kibetza, Bishas Kabbalah, so there's no suffix that Mishlam Melech has within Rashi. What would the din be? Whatever it is, Rabbi Natam disagrees with the Rashi. Rabbi Natam holds in Sochim, and in Nozir, and in Chulin, in other places. Rabbi Natam says that it can't be. That Tumah Satzman and Pachas Mikibetza is only the Rabbanah. And he learns Gemaras like that. He interprets Gemaras in the Sugya of Tam Tiker. Sachemin in Nozir, Rabin and Tamas Gemaras like that. So in Chulin, in the first parak in Chulin, the end of the first parak in Chulin, Rabin and Tam has a lot of kindness against Rashi. So one of the many kashas is from a Torah's Koyhanim. This is Roa has a Havamina, just like Klicheres. If you have a Klicheres, it says, Vosos is Boro, you have to do Shvira Sakli in order to be Matirid. And Shvira Sakli works on all Kalim, not only Klicheres, it works on Klima Teches also. It works on any Kalim. So the Teres Karim has a Halamin and maybe Oklim also. If you have Oklim Tameim, if you'll do a Shvira, maybe the Shvira will be Matayre. It took a mashmal on a pasuk that it's not so. What do you mean Shvira will be Matayre? So it means if you have a Kibetza, you have a Kibetza of Oklim that became Tamei, and then you take a knife and you cut it in half. So I would have thought that since it now has less than a Kibetza, so it can't retain the tumor. But if Rashi is right, that Eichel is Mekabel tumor less than a Kibetza, so if it would have been cut in half before when I touched it, it would also be Mekabel tumor. It would also have tumor satsma. So now that it became Tommy first and cut it in half, Eichel Teisa, where is there room for a Havamin over here to think that that the Shvira of the Eichel should be Metahir of the Eichel? So obviously you see from the Torah's Kohanim that less than a Kibetza can have is not Mekabel tumor in Atar in the first place. But that's only if at the time that I touched it, I'm the other time. The time that I touched it was less than a kibetz. But if I touched the oichel, that was kibetz. And then you cut it in half later, so that's like shvira on a kli. It's no longer a kli. It's no longer a kli, so the tumah vanishes into thin air. But over here, it is oichel, it's just that it's pachas mikibetz. So since at the time of the Kabbalah, tumah had a kibetz, so that's what the kamash will on, the alfus and the Torah's Kanim, that the shvira is oichel, to make it into particles less than a kibetz, will not be metar. But if you're like Rashi, that even less than a kibetza has a tumah satzma min atera, so there's no haramina. So it's a perish teres kanim against Rashi. That's the Rabbi Natan's rayas. That's one of the several rayas. The other rayas are easy to knock off. This is a shtarker rayas. This is a very strong rayas. So the Chiddush Haran on Chulin is miyashin this rayas of the Rabbi Natan with the Mechudish Dikah Hezber. He says that Rashi obviously is of the opinion that Shviras HaKli is Metaher, it doesn't mean because the thing is no longer a Kli and to retain Tumah has to be a Kli. No. The halacha that Shviras is Metaher. So here also, it's not the Hava Min of the Sifra that Shviras would be Metaher Bo'echlim. It's not because in order to have Tumah you have to have a Kebetza. No, Rashi holds if it would have had Melech HaTchila less than a Kebetza, it would have been Kabbal Tumah Min HaTaira. Tumah Satzman. Just like Tamei Acherim Min HaKebetza, but Tumah Satzman has been HaTaira. And even though it has Tumah Min HaTaira, even though it could have been Mekabal Tumah Min HaTaira, but if it was Mekabal Tumah when it was a bigger piece, and then you cut it up into smaller pieces, the Habamin would have been that Shvira is Metayer. Because the din that Shvira is Metayer by Kalim is a separate din Shvira. It went into Shak. It went into a state of Shak when you do Shvira. So I would have thought that Shvira is Metayer Oichlam also. You say that din the arise of Shvira being Metayer Kalim not only because it's no longer a Kli, and if it's not a Kli, you can't retain Tumah. No, Shvira is a Metayra. I would have thought that that Metayra of Shvira should apply also to Echlin. The Kamash will know the Sifra that it's not so. That's how she barked. The question is that true? Now, Mitzah holds that it's not true. Now, Locha that Shvira is Metayra, because it can no longer retain Tumah, it can't hold Tumah. But less than a Kibetza has Tumah, even in Atayra, so then of course it can hold Tumah. So what's the Shai to have a Havamina that the Shvira should be Metayra by Ochlin? Rashi points out on the pasuk when the Torah lists off the kosher animals, it says it's a funny lashon. This is the behemoth that you can eat ba behemoth. Behemoth ba behemoth. So he quotes the Gemara in Chumen that the pasuk is meramisu asadina ben pekua. That if you shech the behemoth, and after having shech the behemoth inside the cow, there's an uber, shenim se demeyeo, that the din is that it's nita b'shchita sein. Just a machlekes hatanaim, Rab Yudah and Rab Meir, what if the ben pekua inside, why is it called the Ben Pekua? They once asked on one of the Pekinas the Smich over here, what is Ben Pekua? So they said one of the guys thought it was a Tanis. Like Ben Zaymach and Taymach, thought it was a Tanis. It's not a Tanis. It's an animal that's found inside. Why is it called the Ben Pekua? Ben Pekua. So the Shachin Yerodeah says that after the mother is Yeshachtim, then you crack open the mother's belly so that the blood should come out. So the blood is a Ben Pekua. It's the son. The mother was a Pekua. The mother was the Pekua, and the blood is the ben of the Pekua. Lahafkiyah means to crack open. The mother's body gets torn open whenever a baby is born, so a part of the body gets torn open. Here, the mother was nifkas after death in order that the blood should come out. The machloik is the Mishnah in Chulin. The Perek Behemam Kasha, the fourth Perek in Chulin, is all about the Dinam of Ben Pekua. A very fascinating institution, the Dinam of Ben Pekua. Very interesting. It needs Shechita with the Rabbanon, because Mishum Marisayim. And Atar doesn't need Shechita, but the Rabbanon needs Shechita. As Rabbi Kevega quotes on Yerideya, the Suffolk from the Besamim Rosh, there's a Tshuva Sefer that was attributed to the Rosh, and years later, they realized that it was a forgery. But for years, Rabbanim were quoting, and it had Haskamah from them. They used to have it here in the library. Had Haskamah from the Nodi Behuda. Nodi Behuda didn't know the guy who put it out, but he knew his father. His father was a famous Rav in Berlin, I think. So they all gave the son a haskamah on the sefer based on the fact that they knew the father. And years later they found out that the son was a real nut. And he forged all kind of crazy things there, and the sefer is not reliable at all. So Rabbi Kevega quotes every so often, he quotes from the Psalmim Rosh, from those Tshuvas, and then he quotes from the Kasa de Harsana. That's the guy, he wrote his own Tshuvas and he wrote his comments on his own Tshuvas. The footnotes on the bottom of the page are called Kasa de Harsana. Rabbi Kevega thought that the whole thing is for real. So he quotes them every so often. So he quotes in Hilchas Ben Pekua, I think with some Rosh, the Kasa de Harsana has this suffix. It's a good suffix anyway. The guy named Shigana knew how to learn. He has some very good things there. So he has a suffix when you shecht the Ben Pekua, do you say a bracha or not? Since you're only shechting for the sake of removing the Marisayin, the people shouldn't think that you're eating the Vela, but it's not you're not really shechting it. So maybe you don't say a bracha on the Shechita. Maybe you should say no, that Marisayin is the reason why the Rabbana required that you really have to shecht it. So maybe it needs a Shechita, so maybe you should say a bracha. What's the difference? We do a lot of things Mishum Arzayim. Sometimes bench chadikulam, sometimes light candles Mishum Arzayim. If you have a bais, yesh lo shnei pesachim. On two sides, you have to light. So the Rambam quotes the Rambam that you don't say a bracha on the other side. When you light the candles on the other side of the house, you don't say a bracha. It's only Arzayim. It's not a real myth. And nonetheless, if Kevega quotes this topic, he can see a difference. There, it's only Arzayim. But here, maybe when we tam Arzayim, the Chachamim are misakin that you really need shechita. You can say over here that it's mocham. That's a shayla. When you learn your day, it's a shayla whether you need shechita in the rabbanon. Maybe you don't even need shechita in the rabbanon. Maybe the whole thing is only marisayin. What if you shech with the sack and paguma? asking the Machaber Shaydin.